It's just more than that. And I've seen Christians try to live their life just by doing stuff with scriptures. And it's okay, but it's not everything. There's this abiding presence and word of God that just gets in you and you just become it. You become it. It becomes you. And you're just living and breathing word. You just are. You know, it's, you know what I'm saying? It's not like you have to think, okay, I got to do Bible now. No, it just oozes out of you. You just pray. And when you pray, you're praying word. You're just thinking word. It just is who you are. It's because you've got life in you. You know what I mean? You've got the living God inside of you. You see, the Bible says you don't live by bread only. Come on now. But you need a proceeding word. Well, where's that word proceeding from? The mouth of God. But then Jesus said that the Holy Spirit proceeds as well. And that's the sap, if you will, the proceeding spirit that just comes out of you. I mean, you know, Peter walked down the road and he did not use word. But people were healed by what was coming out of him. It says the shadow, the glory coming out of him healed people. He didn't say anything. You hear what I'm saying? But we cannot get stuck with a field mentality when God is saying, I want to give you all some glory here. I want to give you some abiding word. I want you to step into a realm where you're just living with God. And it's between you and the gardener. I mean, the branch, all the branch cares about two things. Cares about what it's stuck to. And whenever that guy comes with the clippers, he's going to be thinking about that guy with the clippers a whole lot. You know, if a branch was a person, I'd be looking at two places. Okay, am I really connected to this vine? And number two, when that guy comes with the clippers, I better be sure I'm doing okay. Because he's going to clip off something that may not be good for me. And I don't want him to clip me off at the vine. Whatever happens, I cannot be separated from Jesus in any way. I'm not going to do anything that's going to cut me off from my source, my life, whoever it is. And I just sense this change, this shift, this kind of attitude. You know, I'm telling you why. As pastors, as Christians, we are fed this kind of concept that if you are not multiplying and growing stuff all the time, that somehow you're missing out.
It's true.
You know, somehow if you're not just producing, wow, come on now. And one church is going, man, I'm producing hundredfold. I'm person 30. I'm doing. But that's not the only kind of production. Let's just talk about why wine is valued. People who grow grapes and produce wine, they are not interested in trying to bottle more people. They don't go, well, I bottled 100 bottles and you bottled 50. No, they don't think like that. What are they trying to do? They're trying to get that wine so it tastes so cool. And so it's not just a matter of quality. It's like uniqueness and individuality. And you know that the vintage of a wine is always connected to that generation, that year. We have generations that run about, 20 to 40 years, right? But for grapes, the generation is each year. They produce, you know, you have the same grapes, same vineyard, will produce a crop in 2012 that may be worth, $15? Danny, help me out. $15 a bottle? I don't know. And then they may produce.
Cost?
Well, I'm talking about what people would buy it for, you know.
$12.
Then they may produce a crop 2 years later that would be three times the price. Same place. And you know what's interesting too? You could take a seed like an oat seed or a wheat seed and put it in America, put it in South America, put it in Asia, guess what? You get the same exact taste no matter where you plant it. You can't do that with a grape. You put a grape, you can take the same grape from France and put that grape here in America, and it won't taste anything like that really good wine out there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, can I give you an example? You hear somebody preach the word of God and they sound just like so-and-so, brother. That word comes out. It's exactly like brother so-and-so. They read it. They heard their tapes. You know what I mean? Watch their videos and they talk, act, do everything just like it. What kind of ministry is that? That's a field ministry, a seed ministry, because all you're looking at is multiplication. Is that good? Yes. Is it God? Yes. Does God use it? Yes. Right? Amen. Yes. Yes. Praise God. I'll just crack up. I'll listen to someone preach and they'll sound like this brother, or they'll sound like this sister, or they'll just, they'll talk, act, walk, do everything the same way. Yeah. Is it bad? No, I don't care. I think it's great. Why? Because it's anointed. It's a good seed. It's being multiplied. But that's not always the way God works, right? That means that you could get a root from the Lord here. And you may walk out and not even talk like me or Ronnie. Act like me, walk like me, preach like me. Completely different. Same root, same impartation, same work of the Spirit. But because you planted in another soil, you planted in another place, it takes on the character, the uniqueness of the generation and the location. Yeah, because you can't tell when the bees are doing their thing and pollinating and at the time or the exact temperature or whenever. Why? And does God like that? Yes. Because you're producing a taste and a sweetness and a characteristic, and they have all kinds of names, right? What are some of the names they use, Danny, for describing taste in wine? I don't know. Tannin, smoky. Do they have smoky, sweet, acidic? Yeah, I mean, there are people that study this stuff, you know? And I'm like, just let me try that. Oh, it's really good. Oh, this is really, really nice wine. Okay, yeah, it's really good. I don't know why it's good. It's got this coffee flavor, this chocolate. You know, and I know coffee has a taste wheel too. Same thing. But I feel, look here. What you need to reproduce seed is good seed, good soil, and then you leave it alone. Ted, when you grow crops, you don't go out there and weed the rows. If you're growing 35 acres of corn, you don't go in there, oh, wait a minute, I've got to take that little bad weed in between. Now, you could care less what goes on with that, right? But a vineyard, go look at the vineyards here at Hamlet. Perfect soil. Perfect. Not one weed. And every day, looking at it, hey, oh, wait a minute, got to prune that little. You know what I mean? It's a relationship. It's a relationship because God cares about you and your vine. He cares about who you are. He's, you know what I mean? Because you're not just a one-year throw, you know, done, one and done, you know? You're there every year producing fruit every year in that particular location, that particular vintage. And again, your goal is not to produce gazillion bottles of wine. Your goal is to produce something special, the best. Maybe this year, it's almost like a singer that writes songs. You just want to do a song, and it doesn't matter how long the song is, short. You just want that song to minister to people and bless them and just express who it is about that. You know, like a song, it just says something that you can't always say, you know? And that's what it's all about. It's more like that. And I think, again, we've just been so, like, in this mentality. And God wants to shift us into this kind of artistry and this creativity and this personality and this personhood. I mean, you know, where there's this word that abides and it creates and hey, you know, people are going to drink off of that and they're going to go, man, this is good. I want that bottle. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that bottle here. And I'm going to, and you know what? I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to lose my mind over this. You know, Paul said, if we're crazy, it's for you. It's for God. Amen. He was referring to like, that's the same kind of thing. You know, wine, you can almost say you lose your mind if you drink too much, right? Well, it's the same. The principle is in God. He said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So the working of the Holy Spirit in a person's life produces in a Holy Spirit kind of losing your mind for the Lord, in the Lord, where you're not thinking carnally. You're not thinking from the flesh. You're thinking from a different way. You're letting go and you're letting the Holy Spirit speak to you. I want to just give you one more little story about this. And y'all may know this story. I hope you do. There's a lady in the Bible named Ruth. And Ruth was the daughter, the daughter-in-law of Naomi. Ruth's husband died. And so she came back as a widow with her mother-in-law, who was also a widow, and came back. And in Jewish or Israeli culture, she moved away because of a famine. She came back and she had to inherit her husband's property, but other people were using their property, and so she had land that belonged to her legally, but she had to come into it. Well, in the culture of those days, you had to be married or you had to have a male represent you or be a part of you for you to come into your inheritance. That's just the way they did it in those days. And so Ruth came to some fields. And she didn't harvest the field. She gleaned from the field. Now, I want to talk to you the difference a little bit about gleaning and harvesting. We Americans are really good at harvesting. What does that mean from like a Christian perspective or like, you know, picture? That means that we're really good at processing information. We can take large amounts of information and crunch the numbers, right? You've heard that expression? We can take large amount of information. As a matter of fact, the government is really good at spying on its people, right? Because they can take large amounts of information, process it, and figure out all kinds of stuff just from information out there. So that's the harvest. And like Vincent said, we've got these huge harvesters. I mean, you've seen some equipment here, but there's equipment, like harvesting equipment that this room would not contain. They're big. And so they go through a field and they just have one for many square miles, and that's all it does. And it's all, again, said, it's computer controlled from the satellite somewhere. And it harvests large amounts of fields. So Ruth went to a field, but she didn't go to harvest the field. So there is a kind of ministry that is a harvest kind of ministry where it's designed to process large amounts of things, of information, so that you get a lot of food, right? A lot of food. I love a lot of food. I love to eat, okay? But you don't drink wine like you eat bread. You sip it a little bit at a time. Anybody here just nibble pieces of bread? No, I just go like, you know what I mean? So we process a lot of information, but when you glean the field, that means Ruth would just be on the outskirts of the field. She got a greater reward than the harvest. And this is, I guess I want to leave you with. She got a greater reward in the harvest because it wasn't about how much she could get for herself. It was about who she was really connected with. She was alone. All she had was her mother-in-law. And yet God, by her gleaning on the outskirts of the harvest, she happened to run into a situation that brought her direct contact with the Lord of the harvest. And then you know what he said? Whatever she needs, just get it to her. She didn't actually have to do the work of harvesting. She had all of her stuff by grace given to her. Just give her whatever she needs. Do you see the difference of relationship? I believe in hard work, guys. Come on now. There's a place for hard work. There's a place for organizing yourself. There's a place for getting your life in nice little rows. We need rows. If you drive in India and you drive in America, you appreciate the fact that we have lanes in America. We like rows. We like driving in straight lines. That doesn't happen in Africa and Asia, certain places. Where you may have four lanes, they could care less about those four lanes. Mm-hmm. Nonstop. I thank God for that. That we have things where you work hard, you stay in your lane, you follow the rules, you do this, this, and this, and God will give you this reward from this because you worked really hard for it. But you know what? There is a reward that is not connected to you working hard. There is a reward that comes from you just gleaning and from just being and connecting with the Lord and just doing what he says. And you're thinking, what am I doing? I'm just standing around here right now. What am I doing? I'm just sitting before you, God. I'm just sitting here. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not studying. I'm not accomplishing this, 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 and this. I'm just sitting in my chair with a cup of coffee with some worship music on. And I'm like, no agenda, not trying to accomplish this, read this book, be this by age 25, be this by age 60. You know, come on now. I believe in setting goals and following after them. That's good. But sometimes God gives you things that are complete and total surprises that just come because you're gleaning somewhere. And then next thing you know, you meet somebody and boom, you get stuff you never dreamed possible. That was Ruth. That was Ruth. She was faithful. She did the gleaning she could do. And then God met her and knocked her off her feet. And she ended up marrying the very person that God wanted her to marry. And it enabled her to inherit inheritance. And if you study vineyards, vineyards are about inheritance. Fields are about getting what you sow. It's the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is not in the vineyard. It's different. It's the law of connection. I don't know. I got to come up with something catchy, right? It's a different kind of principle there. It's grace. It's favor. It's through the connection with the vine. It's through the vine dresser. They call it vine dresser, but it's just the word farmer, you know. The farmer, you know. There's a connection that creates stuff in you. And I can tell you stories in my life where I'll be honest with you. I got stuff I did not work for. God just started giving me stuff. He started providing stuff. He started giving me open doors that I did not look for. I didn't look for them, but the doors were there. And I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord. And God wants to bless you. And people call him Jehovah Sneaky, you know. He wants to sneak up on you and bless you with things that you weren't really expecting. So does everybody get what I'm saying in a sense that there has to be a sense of faithfulness, taking the word of God and believing God for it? But then there also is a vineyard mentality where you come into the Lord and you're sitting there before him and you're saying, God, what do you want? What do you want? I'm just going to stay here until you tell me. I'm just going to abide in you. You know, abiding means to live and to stay there. So if I abide in my home, that means I'm a home buddy. I just stay in my home. I'm not out there in the field. And there are times when God wants us to abide in Jesus and not work ourselves to death. Busy? You've heard that? You know what it stands for? Being under Satan's yoke. And the enemy will keep you so busy, you won't have time for God. You won't have time to glean. And it's good stuff. That's the point of pruning. See, the point of pruning is not taking away bad stuff. We got to make that very clear, guys. When the Holy Spirit comes, the gardener comes to prune stuff from you, he doesn't take bad stuff out of you. Lord, I wish you'd just prune that really bad habit of mine. Or I wish that you would prune this. No, not this person. I wish you'd prune this or that. Take something bad out of my life. No. What he prunes is he takes something that you kind of like. And then he says, I'm going to give you something better. If you let go of the good, I'll give you better. It's just the same thing with flowers. Yeah. And I believe that there's a willingness, if you're willing to do that, let God prune in your life. Let him maybe, say, okay, you really like doing this, and it could be something that's not in bad in and of itself. He says, for this season, I want you to just don't do what you've been doing and do this. I don't understand the ways of God, and you don't have to understand it. You're just a branch. You're a branch. Let God be God in your life. And you don't have to always understand the word of God or the ways of God. Let's put it that way. And then he'll explain it to you later, and then you realize, oh yeah, you don't have to explain it. I just realized because of what you did, this happened to me, and I'm really glad. I'm glad you turned this into a tremendous blessing. So I just, I don't want to be a wedding without wine. Amen. I don't want to have a wedding without wine. I don't want to be just working the field, but not working the vineyard. Grapes are good. Bread is good. We need both at the Lord's table. Amen. We got to have both. Oh, God. Can we stand? Paul is standing. Let's all stand, too. Praise God. 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 We just wait. Let's just wait on him just a minute here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father God, we just pray right now before you and we say, Lord, we thank you for the seed of the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that no matter what seed you put in us from the word of God, it's good seed. I break off every lie. I feel like there's some people here that have had lies spoken to them that says that the word of God is not good seed to them. And that that the Bible is not something you should really take seriously. But I just say it is God's word and it's good seed. And the Lord is saying, try it, put it in your heart and watch it grow. Watch it grow. So the Lord wants us to receive the words of God and then take care of the soil. Take care of the soil and don't let things in the soil choke the word. So, Father, we just thank you for our soil. And we say, Lord, open our eyes to any thorns or thistles or anything that would choke receiving the word of God in our lives. Whoa. That it would bear good fruit and that it would produce a multiplication of the seed in our lives. That we would have more seed and more to eat. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for a hunger to hear good Bible teaching. I pray for a hunger to hear studies that just give us from point A to point Z, that just lays it all out for us. We thank you for good books. We thank you for good videos. We thank you for good teaching that lays it out in an orderly way. Father, we thank you for that kind of ministry. We appreciate all the men and women of God that have been faithful to produce great harvests. Lord, we're very grateful for that. And Father, we say, let it be that way for us, Lord. Let us have the Word of God in such a way that we have good fruit.
Amen.
And Lord, we also want to say, Lord God, we say that we want to be connected to the vine right on. Graft us, Lord. Graft us. Show us how important it is to be abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine. Lord God, we just thank you for that, Lord, that we don't have to work hard at that. We can just say, Lord Jesus, will you abide in me? Let's say that. Ready?
Lord Jesus,
would you abide in me, so that your word can abide in me? And that's the living word. That's just the living and abiding Jesus. And I want to abide in you. Just rest in you.
Yes.
Father God, I just I pray, Lord, for things that make us sensitive to things that cause us to be so busy that we just can't rest. Lord, I just come against guilt.
Whoa.
I come against guilt. Guilt. I come against religious spirits that would try to make us feel guilty when we're just doing life with Jesus. I come against accusing guilt words and thoughts in our minds that accuse us of not being busy. And somehow saying that our love, that God loves us because we're busy or because we're productive. Whoa, but Lord, he loves us because he wants to be with us. Because he made us that way. He made us very lovable. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I feel like there's some people here this morning that also have felt like they're kind of like a branch on the roadside. If you were to see yourself in this picture, you would see yourself as a branch sitting by the road with no connection at all. But I say the Lord says that you can be connected to Jesus.
Amen.
And you don't have to feel separate, cast off. So I come against rejection and lies of rejection that would come and try to cause you to feel like you have to, that you don't belong. Whoa. That you have to be just cut off. But you don't. And Lord God, we just pray that we would just take joy when the farmer comes, the vine dresser comes, and even though he has the pruning shears in his hand, Lord, we're going to love seeing him come, even though we don't quite love it. We're going to love it. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, strengthen relational ministry in this house. Strengthen relational ministry. Just being with people. Just being connected. Father God, guard us from offenses. Whoa, God, where there's a sense of offense that just try to cut you off from your neighbor, your brother, your sister, over an offense. We come against that offending spirit that would seek to cut people off. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.